Toyota is claiming an electric vehicle with a 1,000-mile range that can charge in just 5 minutes, and they plan to start mass production by 2027. So, Troy, my question is simple. Is the solid-state battery revolution finally here, or is this just another headline that won't materialize for a decade?
That's the most important question in manufacturing right now, Susie. The answer is complex. The revolution is happening, but it's splitting into two very different races with two very different timelines. And understanding that split is critical for every Western executive.
Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're cutting through the noise surrounding solid-state batteries. Announcements are coming thick and fast, with Chinese, Japanese, American, and European firms all claiming breakthroughs.
The promises are huge. Longer range, faster charging, and a new era of safety for electric vehicles and beyond. But the timelines are all over the place, from 2026 to well past 2030. We're going to dissect what's real, what's not, and what it means for your business.
We'll be focusing on three critical areas: China's aggressive two-track strategy, the West's response through strategic partnerships and IP, and the crucial manufacturing battleground that will ultimately determine the winners.
Let's start in China, Troy. We have a very confusing set of signals. On one hand, Robin Zhang, the chairman of CATL, the world's largest battery maker, says true all-solid-state commercialization is unlikely before 2030. He rates their tech at just level 4 out of 9. That sounds pretty cautious.
It is. And it's a realistic assessment of the challenges in mass producing a true all-solid-state battery, which China's new national standard now defines as having less than 0.5% liquid. But while CATL is managing expectations for the ultimate prize, other Chinese players are sprinting towards an intermediate goal.
And what's that?
They're commercializing semi-solid, or what they now call liquid-solid batteries. Think of GAC Group targeting mass production of EVs with these batteries in 2026. NIO supplier, TIES, just unveiled new liquid-solid cells. This is China's two-track strategy in action. Pursue the perfect battery for 2030, but dominate the market today with a good-enough next-gen product.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It's a massive competitive threat. While Western firms focus on perfecting true solid-state, Chinese EV makers could be selling cars with batteries that are safer, denser, and faster charging than current lithium-ion by 2026 or 2027. The SMM Review projects these semi-solid batteries will reach cost parity with liquid batteries by 2027. This could create a significant performance gap in the mid-decade.
So, for trading companies, does this mean a new wave of advanced but not quite solid-state components is about to come out of China?
Precisely. Western distributors need to be aware that a new category of battery technology is entering the market. Sourcing and partnership decisions need to account for this. Don't wait for a 2030 solid-state revolution. The market is shifting in 2026.
What's the actionable insight here?
Western executives in automotive and energy storage must immediately evaluate their product roadmaps against this semi-solid timeline. You need a strategy to compete with Chinese products offering 400 watt-hours per kilogram by 2026, not 2030. That might mean accelerating your own semi-solid program or securing a partnership with a leader in that space. The goalposts have moved.
So if China is flooding the market early with semi-solid tech, how are Western companies responding? It seems to be all about partnerships. We're seeing Honda team up with US-based QuantumScape, and Stellantis is already on-road testing batteries from Factorial Energy.
That's the core of the Western strategy. Form alliances to share the immense R&D cost and risk. Honda is betting on QuantumScape's QSE5 battery, which boasts an impressive energy density over 800 watt-hours per liter and a sub-15-minute fast charge. Stellantis and Mercedes-Benz are working with Factorial, and BMW is testing cells from Solid Power. These are not lab experiments. Factorial started on-road testing in June 2026.
Beyond these private partnerships, we're also seeing government action. The U.S. Department of Energy just awarded $16 million to accelerate domestic solid-state manufacturing, specifically naming Solid Power as a partner.
This is crucial. It signals a Western industrial policy focused on building a domestic supply chain for this critical technology. It's about avoiding repeating the dependency on Asia that we see in today's lithium-ion market. It's about creating sovereign manufacturing capability.
And where does intellectual property fit in?
It's the other key pillar. While Toyota sits on a fortress of over 1,000 SOFIED battery patents, U.S. firms are carving out specific niches. Dragonfly Energy, for example, just secured patents for its dry electrode manufacturing process in the US, Europe, and Japan. This is less about the core chemistry and more about owning the how, the manufacturing technology itself.
So, for a US or European manufacturer, what's the play?
The opportunity is to license or co-develop these patented manufacturing technologies. A breakthrough in manufacturing that lowers cost or improves quality is a powerful competitive advantage. For trading companies, this means identifying which of these technology alliances, like Honda QuantumScape, is likely to reach commercial scale first and positioning yourself as a potential supply chain partner.
The key takeaway for executives?
Don't go it alone. The path to solid state for Western firms is through collaboration. Executives should be actively mapping the landscape of these partnerships and identifying where their company can add value, whether as a material supplier, an equipment provider, or an end user. And protect your process innovations fiercely.
Okay, so we have these competing strategies, but it all comes down to actually building these things at scale and at a price consumers can afford. Troy, what is the reality on the factory floor?
This is where the hype meets the hard numbers. Toyota, despite its incredible 1,000-mile range announcement, has also acknowledged that its first-generation sulfide solid-state batteries could have a 100 times cost challenge compared to lithium-ion. That is a colossal barrier to mass market adoption.
100 times is not a viable product. So how do you solve that?
This is the trillion-dollar question, and two distinct approaches are emerging. The first is building brand new, dedicated factories with novel equipment. We're seeing European startups like Switzerland's B-Try secure a 2.2 million euro grant to build Europe's first large-scale thin-film battery factory. This is a ground-up approach.
And the second approach?
Retrofitting. This is arguably the most disruptive threat. U.S.-based Factorial Energy claims its technology is compatible with existing lithium-ion manufacturing infrastructure, potentially reducing capital expenditure by up to 80%. In China, Tize makes an even more aggressive claim. They say their process allows factories to switch to semi-solid production with less than 10% modification.
That's a game changer. What does that mean for a European auto manufacturer?
It means your entire capital investment strategy is on the line. Do you bet on a partner that requires a multi-billion dollar greenfield plant or one that can leverage your existing facilities? This massively impacts cost and speed to market. European manufacturers must scrutinize these claims of drop-in compatibility.
For distributors and trading companies, this must create huge uncertainty.
It does. It determines what the future supply chain looks like. A drop-in technology means sourcing might still involve many current players. A completely new manufacturing process, like Posdien's post-laser deposition in Finland, creates an entirely new ecosystem of equipment and material suppliers you need to engage with now.
So the actionable insight for executives is?
Focus on manufacturing readiness level, not just lab performance. When a potential battery partner presents their technology, the first questions should be about capital expenditure per gigawatt hour and compatibility with existing process flows. The company that solves the manufacturing cost equation will win, even if their battery isn't theoretically the best. Let's summarize the week's intelligence. First, China is executing a two-track strategy. While their top players like CATL see true all-solid-state as a post-2030 reality, a wave of semi-solid batteries is being standardized and pushed to mass market for 2026-2027. This will disrupt the EV market far sooner than many Western firms anticipate.
Second, the West is responding through a network of strategic alliances and a focus on intellectual property. It's Honda with QuantumScape, Stellantis with Factorial, backed by government initiatives like the DOE's manufacturing grants. The strategy is to build defensible moats around key technologies, especially manufacturing processes.
And third, manufacturing is the real battlefield. The winner won't be determined by lab breakthroughs, but by who can scale production affordably. The key strategic decision facing every Western manufacturer is whether to bet on revolutionary new factory designs or on drop-in technologies that can leverage trillions of dollars of existing lithium-ion infrastructure. This choice will define the competitive landscape for the next decade.
The race is on, and the timelines are compressing. The difference between a multi-billion dollar new factory and a 10% retrofit could be the difference between leading the market and being left behind.
The intelligence clearly shows that executives need to plan for a 2027 market disruption, not a 2031.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining Troy Technical Intelligence.
Follow us on your favorite podcast platform to ensure you never miss an update.
We'll be back next week with more analysis on the technologies impacting your business. Goodbye.